This shirt, I love. The reason I wear it, and I wear it now, is because, like, it's got these little patterns on it, and I'd never seen Super Troopers before. But the first, like, five people who ever saw me wear this shirt, they're like, that shirt has schnozberries on it. And I'm like, what the hell is a schnozberry? So then I started watching Super Troopers, and I was like, oh, these schnozberries smell like, taste like schnozberries.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. Kyle likes Super Troopers. Izzy Gutierrez.
I thought we were done.
We're going to make some TV.
Better chance of pulling off the upset tonight, USC or UCLA?
All right, USC is playing the monster that is Gonzaga. UCLA is playing Michigan, both for a berth in the Final Four. Now, the easiest answer to me why I'd say USC has a better chance for an upset is they've got a player good enough to power you to an upset by himself if it comes down to it in Evan Mobley. The other reason is, one, UCLA in the 40s overall in defense, according to Ken Pomeroy's adjusted defensive efficiency. And they're in the bottom 20 or around there in tempo, which is to say, I kind of hope they don't go just because I don't want to watch that slop. Like, if you're going to be out here playing bottom 20 tempo, you better at least be playing some defense. I don't know how the hell they managed to get this far playing that slow and not actually playing any defense. So, yeah, go Michigan. Just completely go Michigan. Go Michigan. None of that. It's bad enough Virginia won the title the last time they did this. Speed up. Why are you walking? Work harder.
I really want to say UCLA here because they've got what most people consider the easier of the number one seeds in Michigan versus Gonzaga, because I think Gonzaga is going to win it all. And I think with UCLA, though, the problem is they just beat an Alabama team that, you know, in overtime they needed to survive, and the Alabama team shot 11 of 25 from free throw range. So they probably shouldn't even be here from the free throw line. They probably shouldn't even be here, to be honest with you. And then you look at their sort of makeup, and they got Cody Riley in the middle there, and he did some really good things down the stretch in that game, but they just surround him with guards, and I just don't see that being enough against Michigan, against Dickinson's size, against Wagner's athleticism and the quickness of those guards. So I think UCLA is going to lose. And so the better chance, I'm just going to argue and say USC, even though I don't think it's going to happen, because you mentioned Mobley. He could possibly sort of keep Drew Timmy under control and just dominate the paint, frankly, because he's so athletic and so big, and they have a couple of senior guards and a great defense. So if you're going to give somebody a chance against Gonzaga, it's probably going to be that makeup. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's probably the best chance.
Yeah, I say we have to follow best chance on this one, and it's a best chance in the way I feel like we deserve at this point. This men's tournament's been kind of strange because it was so upset dominant and heavy early on, and now we're getting to this point where we're going to start to get this kind of Suggs-Mobley matchup, these star power players that are actually the name brand value players that I always say we want to see at this point in the tournament. The upsets are great for a while, but now that it's giving way to these prospects that we know we're going to see as lottery picks coming up in the NBA draft and giving us that kind of matchup where I have one or two guys I know I can rely on in this spot versus a team, like you said, Izzy, we've seen plenty of teams, especially getting to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight now, go very cold shooting if we're not careful. So I'm much more comfortable relying on that one dude, especially a guy in Evan Mobley who's been so dynamic defensively for them, versus a team full of underdogs that could all of a sudden turn back from that carriage into a pumpkin at any given moment.
Hey, Golick, let's send a shout-out to Izzy there. You hear all them names of them college basketball players he rattled off. Like, he knew who they were. He knew what they did. Everything else. I gave you all my USC knowledge right there with Evan Mobley. You ask me who else plays for them? I'm like, I don't know, Reggie Bush, Dwayne Jarrett, Charles White? I don't know.
Speaking of Evan Mobley, did you see his dunk earlier in this tournament?
If you're asking if I'd like to know what Evan Mobley looks like, sure, put him up on the screen.
Yep, a little gamble.
Oh, I had some of that. Okay.
Throw it down, big man.
Yep.
Wow.
That was him?
Yeah,
man.
And all I can think when I see that is number two for Oregon, he must not make good grades. Like, nothing about that seemed wise. Like trigonometry, study it. It has applications in real life, like not getting dunked on.
You can blame the NBA for not having seen that because they sort of devalue the big man so much that guys do that and are probably going to be a top three pick. And we're like, eh, show me a guard shooting three.
Did Baylor get hosed by the refs?
All right, once again, the women's tournament gave us more action and excitement than we got from the men's tournament last night. Baylor-UConn, we had big names. We had a great game for all four quarters. Because a lot of people learned this year they do quarters over there instead of halves. Anyway, this is how the game ends. Dejounte Carrington has the ball. Now, apparently, everybody saw a foul except for the refs.
Well, there's not a ref on the baseline, which there should be.
Yeah, even if there isn't, like they tell you to put your arm straight up so you don't get called for a foul. Instead, it looked like it was Wayne's World, and they still did not call the foul right there in that moment. That blew my mind. Gino Auriemma's daughter got on Twitter and said that it was a foul, which I do have to say, man, what are you doing? Like, ain't no solidarity in that house?
Yeah, I'm surprised anyone in the general UConn sphere of things would step out of turn, let alone someone in the family in that spot. But yeah, this seemed pretty apparent that they got hosed. And I am a huge proponent of the refs kind of staying out of business when it comes to late game moments in this spot. But my God, I mean, you can't get much more obvious than 2-on-1 in that spot, getting the leaning towers in a moment where that game deserved another chance for Baylor in that spot. I know that's kind of a loaded thing we always say, but in an obvious instance like that, you can't leave this one out there in a way that we can all see so apparently.
Yeah, but just on the basketball side of things, okay? Let's just say the basketball gods are a real thing, right? And Dejounte Carrington keeps driving and trying to score over double teams down the stretch. Stop it. Like, her teammates were sitting there, wide open, hands in the air, pass the ball, you're gonna get an open shot. She was determined to get that shot off. She knew that, her teammates knew that, UConn knew that. And yes, that was a foul, but the refs just saw this happen over and over again, and she's going to ruin her chances of getting that call. They swallowed their whistles, it was the wrong play, but the basketball gods might have had a little bit to say about that because she was constantly doing that down the stretch.
That's all I got there. That's all I got. You shouldn't have been doing that the rest of the game. That's all I have here.
What is it? It's like 2 o'clock Eastern time. People have been talking about this all day. Hopefully that's something slightly different. And that's what I was thinking at the same time, though. Her teammates with their hands up in the air must have been saying, you know what? You didn't deserve that call. I was wide open.
Oh, no, no, no. If you want to talk about something different, we could talk about something different right now. Now, post-game, Kim Mulkey, who understandably would not have been at her best because this foul thing just happened, unsolicited, unprompted, gave us this.
I don't think my words will matter, but after the games today and tomorrow, there's 4 teams left, I think, on the men's side and the women's side. They need to dump the COVID testing. Wouldn't it be a shame to keep COVID testing and then you got kids that end up having test positive or something and they don't get to play in a Final Four? So you need to just forget the COVID test and let the 4 teams that are playing in each Final Four go battle it out.
I mean, I'll give her credit for a nice catch on the S word, and I appreciate her saying at first that she doesn't think her words were matter. Hopefully those words will not matter a single bit. That is the dumbest thing that I have ever heard. Wouldn't it be a shame if some people didn't get to play in the game? Wouldn't it be a shame if everybody caught it? Like, I feel like that would be the bigger shame. If they had gotten all the way to the end of this just to have everybody catch it, because Kim Mulkey don't want nobody to miss no game.
Yeah, this I had said during the game and tweeted sort of jokingly that the camera people were playing a very dangerous game panning over to Kim after all of these offensive fouls called on her team. I didn't realize it was going to result in this kind of statement after the game. I thought we would just get an F-bomb or something during the game in this spot. Instead, what we got is a real scorpion and the frog kind of thing right here, right? Like, we can't all act surprised when Kim Mulkey gets up here and says something that it sounds like she was on her heart this entire tournament, and she was waiting for the moment where it would finally be something where she didn't have to worry about the basketball side anymore. The problem is, this unfortunately obscures what we should be talking about and spending all of our energy on: the basketball team that she coaches, the great game that was just played, the players that were on the court in that spot that are now all masked by what their coach decided to come out and say the minute she got a mic and a stage she felt was ready for this take.
You know what, Mike, that's the first thing I can think of. The first reasoning I could think of for her to say this is maybe, let me say something crazy and take the attention off UConn because they don't deserve it. That's the best reasoning I can think of, because my whole thought process was, what's the point here? You are saying out loud, hey, my words probably won't matter. Your team's not in the tournament, so it's not going to affect you directly. So you're saying, hey, these last 4 teams should not have to do this COVID testing because it's annoying and I've put no more thought into it. What is the point? Nothing is going to come out of that other than us looking at you and saying you are a fool. Unless she's trying to rile up a certain group of people, I have no idea why she would do something like this. Does anybody else have a clue?
Tweeting like a bot is bad enough. Talking like a bot, woo-hoo, that's the extra mile.
Up next on HQ.
This is a guy who got a scholarship to UF. He was as wide as he was tall. Okay, got a scholarship to University of Florida, lost, as Billy Donovan told him, a Backstreet Boy right before he got there, and for 4 years was fantastic, and then gets to the NBA in 2003, lost a couple more Backstreet Boys. He got to the Heat practice facility. I did not recognize the dude after spending a full year with him in the University of Florida a couple years earlier, and now has developed this reputation after a long career that KG and UD are kind of synonymous in terms of NBA or tough guys. I want to see the fight at any given time. I know who's going to win. I just love to see it. I'm sorry.
Do you question if you'd want to see Udonis Haslam and KG fight as 60-year-olds?
All right, we're going out to the All the Smoke podcast, which is humbling for those of us who do this media thing because these guys get better interviews generally than we do from these guys. Now, here's Udonis Haslam talking about KG and Paul Pierce and all the stuff they've had to say post-retirement.
If you look at, like, a lot of the comments that Paul Pierce makes, you know what I'm saying, from, you know, the position he's in now, I don't hear him say too much good about Bron.
He don't.
You know what I'm saying? When I look at the position he in, I hear him talk about D-Wade. He said some crazy try to compare careers. I'm like, man, come on, man. What is you doing, man? Like, why you tripping? You know what I'm saying? I got great respect for what KG has done as a basketball player. How he be talking out there, I don't play like that.
Nobody do.
You know what I'm saying? I don't play like that. So, I don't know. We might be 60 years old in the grocery store and might have to get it on at some point.
Now, can I see Udonis Haslam fighting KG at 60 years old? Yes. Can I see KG fighting him? That the same KG that got elbowed in the mouth by Anthony Peeler and then just kind of walked away from it? Because that dude does not want to fight Udonis Haslam. Like, I think there's one thing we know. Izzy, you can attest to this. KG does a lot of barking. Ain't a whole lot of people doing more biting than UD.
No, and this just makes my heart so warm. First of all, I love the idea that Udonis Haslam now, and he's not retired, he's still playing technically, but Udonis Haslam is known by two letters, okay? This is a guy who got a scholarship to UF. He was as wide as he was tall, okay? Got a scholarship to University of Florida, lost, as Billy Donovan told him, a Backstreet Boy right before he got there, and for 4 years was fantastic, and then gets to the NBA in 2003, lost a couple more Backstreet Boys. He got to the Heat practice facility. I did not recognize the dude after spending a full year with him in the University of Florida a couple years earlier, and now has developed this reputation after a long career that KG and UD are kind of synonymous in terms of NBA or tough guys. I want to see the fight at any given time. I know who's going to win. I just love to see it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let it break out in a grocery store. Let it break out anywhere. And all of those things about UD, like, are baked into this that we know are absolutely true. But even just seeing the background artwork in his house during this interview, he basically got painted up the version of every edit that some kid makes and sends to an NBA player on Instagram. And someone with that level of recklessness with their in-home decor, not the guy I'm going to try. Not in any grocery store, not in any spot, not at any age.
And let me drop, by the way, people, the Udonis Haslam fun fact that is always my favorite to break out. That dude played on the same high school team with Steve Blake, and their head coach was Frank Martin. Like, that sounds like the most intense high school team that I have ever seen. And by the way, that high school looked a lot more like Frank Martin went there, or maybe even UD went there, than it looked like Steve Blake went there.
Frank Martin coached at my high school for 2 years. It's the only 2 years we were ever good at basketball.
I don't know if basketball teams have ever done an Oklahoma drill, but I feel like that one might try.
Do you question Cooper's T-ball instincts?
Ah, Cooper, the kind of name you see on a baseball field in 2021, but never on a basketball court. Let's see what he has done in T-ball. Go, go, go! Oh, oh, oh!
Oh, no. First at bat, you think?
Yo,
He has instincts for the ball. We can say that.
By the way, I'm surprised that Cooper's team has that guy as the first base coach. And here's where I want to give Cooper some credit here and why I'm on Team Cooper. That is clearly a young man who didn't want to play baseball. like if you wanted to play baseball, you know you're not supposed to do that.
Didn't want to play baseball and just wanted to show everyone, hey, I'm going to get the whole experience of one at bat. I'm going to do a little hitting. I'm going to do a little fielding. And then we're going to get the hell out of here. Let's hit some juice boxes and oranges and call it a day.
Is that batter's interference, by the way? Because nobody actually, like, touched the ball from the other team. So, like, he's not out unless it's batter's interference out.
Yeah, he's definitely out, right? I'm pretty sure the rules say it explicitly, but even if they did not, just so the other kids don't try this, he's definitely out.
You think in the next half inning he was out in the field and he gets the ball hit to him and he just looks at it because they're just like, well, they told me not to touch the ball, so.
Yeah. Like, what's so good about, like, that level of youth sports is there's always one or two kids that really, really, really want to win. And then there's always one or two kids that don't give a damn one way or another. They're just ready to go back home.
The best thing about that level of youth sports now is that we've got a bunch of parents that grew up armed with cell phones. And so now all this stuff that would have just been home videos or funny stories before is internet fodder for us. And so finally, youth sports are contributing to the discourse in a way that we deserve.
Up next on HQ.
Not shocked by anything that he said in that spot, because my favorite thing in the entire world is, yeah, you're great until it comes to me. That tends to definitely be prevalent in NBA circles. But, like, I also appreciate the nicest thing everyone says about Draymond is, I appreciate that he says the thing. Basically, like, I appreciate that he is so loudly wrong often, and that seems to be the take that most people come back to with him.
And Doug.
Excuse me, ma'am. Did you know that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need?
Thank you.
Hey! No, Lima. No, Lima.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty.
Feeling sluggish or weighed down? It could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best. Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil psyllium fiber gels to trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. It also helps lower cholesterol and slow sugar absorption to promote healthy blood sugar levels. So you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil. Support your daily digestive health. And try Metamucil Fiber Thins. A great tasting and easy way to start your day.
911 emergency.
Metro Police!
I'm supposed to help people get through something that doesn't seem winnable. I'm meant to be alive.
I have never athletically been farther ahead of my peers ever than T-ball. Never. Because one, I was fast at that point in my life. Two, I have a late August birthday, which always doomed me for school sports, like even before we got to the grade skipping. But the baseball, August 1 was the rollover date. So I was, for the only time, the oldest kid in the, like, in the age level that got to play. And then kids that age don't know about baseball. They don't know the rules. Like, if you're the one smart kid out there that knows the rules, you're the king.
Probably a couple hidden ball tricks.
Oh, man, you ain't even got to do that. But you wind up getting frustrated because it's like, yo, it's two strikes. I know you think you're being smart by staying on the base while the ball is in the air. But how about you run? There's a reason why I'm staying.
Streaming online, the Dub Talk Podcast.
All right, so last week, Draymond Green said that he was the greatest defensive player of all time.
All time
in the NBA. Now, this is Baron Davis on the Dub Talk Podcast, Warriors Podcast. Dub, get it? Here we go.
The greatest defender all time, bro. That's a lot. But I like Draymond Green because he be putting a lot on it. You know what I mean? It's like, he make bold statements for himself. This ain't for nobody else but him, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, as far as ranking him, I just think he's one of the best in his eras. Can Draymond Green guard me? Absolutely not. I play him for a 10-day, too. And he couldn't stop me in the summer league, like at UCLA 2 years ago, he got mad at me. I was locking him up. I was saying I was a baby Draymond. He kept calling fouls, but he couldn't score on me. You know what I mean?
And you said you
tried to post me up, dog. You tried to post me up. And I'm going, I'm baby Draymond. He was getting pissed.
I cannot imagine how heated Draymond was, like, throughout the entirety of that. And if you want to feel old, as someone who graduated from high school the same year as Baron Davis, that dude got drafted 22 years ago. Hey, you didn't see that coming, did you, Golden?
No. Little shocked by that, but not shocked by anything that he said in that spot, because my favorite thing in the entire world is, yeah, you're great until it comes to me. That tends to definitely be prevalent in NBA circles, but like, I also appreciate the nicest thing everyone says about Draymond is, I appreciate that he says the thing. Basically, like, I appreciate that he is so loudly wrong often, and that seems to be the take that most people come back to with him.
Is you
shout out to Darrell Wright. Oh, sorry, Bo. I am intrigued. Shout out to Darrell Wright of that video there. Baron Davis, I think, might be slightly more delusional or just unfair than Draymond Green here, because the idea wasn't, hey, can Draymond score on me, therefore beating me in a game of one-on-one? No, it's just about defense, okay? And so, yes, I think he would win in a one-on-one game because Draymond Green cannot play offense, all right? But in terms of who actually is, like, the greatest defender of all time, is that something you've ever spent time thinking about? Because when I read that quote from Draymond, I said, I don't think he is, but I don't have an answer for who is outside of everybody's answer would probably just be Michael Jordan or one of those, you know, bigs that played back in the day when, you know, they just swatted everything.
That's what I had to say. Once you separate out the big man, I got some votes in here. This is a Bob Ryan discussion. Like, you imagine Bob Ryan's head exploding when Draymond Green said that?
Streaming on Discovery Plus, Pig Royalty.
Pig people are very different. It's like a totally different society.
Drive, drive, drive!
Who are you? The Nugget! What do you want to be? Famous!
Thank you very much. When I grow up, I want to be a famous pig show.
It's very cutthroat. In the pig world, rumors do spread quickly.
I did not sleep with the judge.
I just want to say that this is apparently what Tiger King has wrought. Like, you know, as you said, pig people, like that was the whole thing about Tiger King, is that these are big cat people and how they're different. And now we get the pig people, and now I want some bacon. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I have so many things I want to say, but I'll just offer this fun fact about pigs. You know that saying, when pigs fly? Well, pigs are actually scared of heights. So even if they could, probably wouldn't.
Learn something new every day. Go to you intrigued.
Yeah. Unsurprisingly, I'm all in on this one right here. My favorite part was I watched the entire, like, three-minute preview for all this. You get a buckle when you win with the best show pig in all of this one. And I found the sagest bit of advice from one of the women in this video who said, you can't win buckles with a hog. And I feel like we can all learn a lot from that.
All right, that is our show. Izzy Gutierrez, Mike Golic Jr. Check out Mike Golic Jr. on Chiné and Golic, 4 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Izzy has pull-ups to do, which I'm sure he will get to promptly.